Begin the current daf, Masechta Baba Basra, daf Samach. Begin on the second line down for the top of the Yomid, where the Gemara continues explaining the halacha of the Mishnah in previous daf, which spoke about the prohibition of somebody opening up his windows or other types of entryways into someone else's domain, into a shared courtyard, into someone else's courtyard. Now, one of the halachas the Mishnah mentioned was Lokech Bayis Mochatz Acheres. Somebody buys a house in a different courtyard, that's the way they used to do that, which would be like developments, shared courtyards where the house would open up into these courtyards, and then the courtyards would open up into a common mavoi, and the common mavois would open up into the Rishas Aram. So if somebody purchased a house in a different courtyard, leave to chen l'chatzah shutfin. He's not allowed to have that house, which is really part of that other development, open up into this development, to this courtyard, although he's actually a partner here, he can't have that house open up also into this shared courtyard. So the Gemara asks my time, what's the reason for that? What's the problem? What's he doing wrong? So the reason is when they shemar balei mesaderech, because now what he does is he increases the number of people that are trafficking in and out of that common courtyard more than that there originally was, and now it diminishes the level of modesty that there originally was, and that's causing damage, that's causing harm to the people in this development, and therefore he's not allowed to, although it's his house, but since it's part of a different courtyard, he cannot have its entryway through this courtyard. Now, this the Gemara asks, well, imus seifa, look at the end of the Mishnah. The Mishnah then says, Elim Ratza, but if what he wants to do, what he can do is as follows, which this was going regarding the prohibition of building an attic on top of his house. So that also, we said that same like another house from a different courtyard, even an attic that he's building a second story in this same development, in the same, on top of his original house, he's not going to have that open up into the shared courtyard. So said the Mishnah, what should he do? Elim Ratza, if he wants to, he does as follows. So what he does is he builds another room within this house, or he builds another story on top of this house, and they go out through the main door of the pre-existing house, and that's not a problem. And that has to Gemara, but based on what you just said, is the prohibition of, let's say, having a different house from another development, opening up into this courtyard, or building another story and having it as its own entrance opening up to the courtyard, because you can have more people coming and going. So what does it help by building inside the pre-existing house another story or another room and having them go through the front door? But v'halei marbalev saderech, still it's increasing the amount of people in the structure that he's making for this second story, which wasn't here beforehand, where he's bringing in more dwellers than they originally existed in this house. So although that, yes, they're going to be coming in and going out through his main front door, but still he's adding more people into the chatzar. And that's what you said is the prohibition of why he can't have that other house from that other development opening up into this shared courtyard. And that explains Amar Rav Huna. He says, no, what does the Mishnah mean in the Seif when it says that he should build the cheder, the room that the Mishnah says? It doesn't mean to actually make an extension into the house, to build another room, because that would be a problem. Rather, it means shecholkoi. He takes a pre-existing room and he splits it bishnayim into two, which he puts a wall up in the middle of that large room, which now he's going to be able to add more dwellers into his house than he has permission to. And that is because he can fill up his whole house wall to wall with people. And so to Maya Lee, what does it mean that he makes a second story? It doesn't mean adding on a new level to his house. It means aftoi. It means what's called a yetziah, an annex, which, as the Gemara is going to explain on the next daf, this also means after, where the Gemara says that there's three names that this has. It's called either yetziah, tzela, or ta, which that the Gemara explains it from Sukkim, which it's obvious that this is referring to like a small structure that's on the side of the house or behind the house, which is not equal to the roof itself. And therefore, what the Mishnah was saying is as follows. What it could do is it could build, when it says a boina li al gabov, or this room that's lifnimi beisai, these are parts of the original structure of the house. You're just subdividing in height, and you're going through a trap door in the ceiling, and you're creating another structure of crawl space or of living space in that room that's in the attic, which that's the yitzia, which that's behind the house. That's why it's called the yitzia, because it's not a new structure. Now, therefore, since he's not adding anything to the structure of the building, not with the room or with the attic, with the second story, rather the cheder is that he split the width of the room. and he made it into two smaller rooms. And so too, when it says that he makes Naliyah, he splits that room in its height, and he makes a floor in the middle of the room, which that is already from the pre-existing structure. That's something he's permitted to do. But again, you're right. Not only could he not have a house opening up to this courtyard, even in this house that he has, he cannot add on an extension to the house, because that would be adding more people, which is not part of the pre-existing structure. What he could do is he could then subdivide what he already has in that pre-existing structure, and that would be allowed, because then that's really part of his house, and he could have as many people as he wants to. Putting up a wall is not a problem. Now, the Gemara continues in the next Mishnah, again, continuing on this theme about the prohibition about opening up something into the common courtyard, which is not allowed. Says the Mishnah, Le'yaftech adam l'chatzar shut, for the person is not allowed to open up to the common courtyard. And this is Toma, even where he was already machzik, he already has a chazaka with this permissibility. So he's not allowed to open up a Pesach, an opening which he's allowed to have, keneged Pesach, facing opposite another person's opening of his house. Or v'chalein keneged chalein, or a window up facing opposite the other person's window. Rather, what he has to do, he has to distance it a little bit, that it shouldn't be directly opposite that other person's entryway. And the reason for this is because it's sneis, because of modesty, as this whole Mishnah will be explained in the Gemara. So too, if how you cut, and it was small, then lo yasan agel, it's not going to make it large. If it was echad, it was one, lo yasan ishnei, it's not make it into two. Now, avol pesechu l'shusharam, but regarding a public domain, that is, he is allowed to open up Pesach connected Pesach. So let's say he's on one side of the street of the Rishusharam, and his neighbor is the other side of the Rishusharam, then he's allowed to open up his door facing that person's door, and machalin connected chalain, and his window facing the person opposite his window. And how you cut, and he says, if it was small, he's allowed to make it big, ve'echer, he says, shnayim, and if it was one, he's allowed to make it into two. So the Gemara first asks, Menachemili, where do we know this from, that one is not allowed to have his entryway or his window facing opposite the other person's door or his window? So Mevichanan, he says, Dama Kreb, because the Pasuk says in Memidbar, Vayisa Bilam es Einav, that Bilam lifted up his eyes, Vayaris Yisrael Sheikh in the Shvatim, and he saw the Jewish people dwelling amongst their tribes. In other words, he saw how they were living, and therefore he said, Matrevu Alecha, how great are your tents, Mishkanesech Yisrael, the dwellings of the Jewish people. So, explains the Gemara, Ma Ra, what did he see that he was praising the Jewish people? Ra, she'in pischi aleyem chuvan zelazeh. He saw that the entryway of their tents were not directly facing opposite the other people's, where then they could look directly into it, and it would create situations of immodesty looking to someone else's tents. Now, therefore, that's the halach of our Mishnah, is based on that, because the Machni Yisrael, the dwelling places of the Jewish people in the Midbar, which were not the Levites or the Kahanim, they are the same element as what's called a chatzar shutfin, which is a shared courtyard. Because the only rishus haram that was had over there was in Machne Levi, as the Gemara says in Sechle Shabbos, on Dav Tzadi Vam Beis, that everyone came to Moshe Rabbeinu, thus making 600,000 people, which is the area of rishus haram. So Machne Yisrael, which they didn't have facing each other's tents, that's the same thing as a chatzar shutfin, and therefore we see that it's not appropriate to have your entryway facing opposite the other person's. And Omar, so Bilam said, Ru'uyin halalu shetisha aleim shchina. The Jewish people are fit that the divine presence rest among them, as the pasuk there says, Matevu olecha. He was praising the tents of the Jewish people. And like Tosfos says at the end of the pasuk, which it says, Vati love ruach elokim, that it should be on them the spirit of God, which is the divine presence. That's because of Matevu olecha, which is this idea about not having it facing opposite, and therefore it's forbidden to someone to do that. Now, moreover, the Mishnah said, Hayikatan lo yasenu gadol. If it was small, let's say the window or the door, he's not making it large. So says the Gemara, Savi Rama Bachama Lamema. So this is regarding the entryway of the house. Rama Bachama thought to say that this is the Mishnah said, if the doorway was small, he's not allowed to make it big. That is, if let's say the opening was Bar Dalet, was 4 amis wide, then the Mishnah is telling us, Dele Leshavye Bar Tamanya, that he's not allowed to make the entryway into 8 amis wide. Now, the reason for that is because that's going to be creating a loss for the rest of the people of the common courtyard, because now the Koshokal Tamanya Bechatzer. Now he's going to be taking 8 amis on the whole, opposite the whole area opening to his entryway for a length into the courtyard of 4 amis, distancing from his opening. Because as the Gemara said in the first paragraph of Yod Aleph and Aleph, if let's say someone's entryway into the common courtyard is 8 amis wide, so he takes along the entire area of that 8 amis, 4 amis deep into the common courtyard. Now, whereas in the beginning, when his entry was only 4 amis, he would only take 4 amis along the length and 4 amis into the depth of the common courtyard. Now, but what's obvious is that Rami Bachamba was not concerned for the halachas of tznius, of modesty, because the fact that you made your entryway now wider, just like people had to be tenua from him when they had a smaller entryway, it would be the same thing when he makes a larger entryway. It doesn't make a difference as a four amas or eight amas. So therefore, the whole concern he has is because, yes, when you make an eight amas, then he's going to be taking more space into the common courtyard. Avol, but says Rav Chama Bar Tarti, if let's say his doorway was only two amas wide, where then anyway he would be taking four amas in the courtyard, where as if it was four amas wide, as the Gemara says that every entryway, every door that opens up into the courtyard gets four amas. So then Lashav Yibar Arba Shabar Dami. Then says Rav Chama, then there wouldn't be any problem of making it bigger, making it four amas wide, because anyways his friends in the courtyard are not losing anything, because before when it was two amas wide, he anyways took four amas. Now when he makes it four amas, he's anyways going to be taking the same four amas. Therefore, there wouldn't be a difference of making it wider. That Amalei Rava. Rava disagrees with Rav Chama. Says no. Matzi Amalei, the neighbors could tell him, Bepischa zutra metzina letzinu imnach. And that's because Rava was concerned for the halachas of tznei. He says, when you had a very small doorway, so then it was easier to be to conceal ourselves from you, to be tzinua. But a large opening, you have a huge wide door, it opens up, you're able to see much more. It's harder for us to be modest from you, and therefore that's causing challenges for the neighbors, and therefore they could protest. He's not allowed to make it even from two amas to four amas wide. Similar discussion. The Mishnah said, Echad lo yisendu shnayim. If it was one doorway, he's not allowed to make that into two. So again, Rambam thought to say that bar arboy, if it's four amas wide, l'lishav yitrei bonei tarti tarti. He's not allowed to make the four amma wide doorway into two amma wide doorways. Why? Because shachal tamim b'chatzik is now by making each doorway separate, as we said, even if it's a two amma wide doorway, every doorway gets four amas. So instead of taking four amas, he's going to be taking eight amas. So that's a problem. That's at the expense of the rest of the people in the courtyard. Abba, but says Rabbi B'chama bar tamani, if let's say he had an eight amma wide doorway, then it's okay in making two 4 amma wide doorways, because that's not causing a loss to his neighbors at all. Because again, in the beginning, anyway, he was taking 8 amas wide, and now he's also going to be taking from the two 4 amma doorways, each one's going to get 4 amas, it's also going to be 8 amas wide. And moreover, as we said, according to Rav Chama in the previous Gemara's discussion, he's not concerned for tznius, because what's the difference if you have one entryway of 8 amas wide, and what's the difference if you had 8 amas from two doorways of 4 amas each? Either way, there's going to be 8 amas opening up into the courtyard, so that wouldn't make a difference, and then you're allowed to make two doorways of 4 amas if it was from 8 amas. Here too, Amalei Rava disagrees with Rav Chama, and he says no. Matzi Amalei, the people in the courtyard could tell him, B'chad Pischa, when you had only one entryway, let's say when it was 8 amas, Metzina, it's Tanui Menach. Then I'm able to hide myself and conceal myself from you, because when it's closed, I know I can then go ahead and do a little bit of things that are a little bit private in the common courtyard. Or to utilize whatever is not facing opposite that doorway. But betray, when you have two entryways, even if you're taking the same amount of space, but now there's two doorways of 4 amas, now it's hard for me. I'm not able to conceal myself from you so much, because even if one of the doors are going to be closed, the other door then might be open. Whereas when there's one door, if it's closed, I know I could use the area. Now when there's two doorways, one's closed, the other one still might be open. It's going to cause more of challenges for us for modesty, and therefore they can protest even for an 8 amas to 4 amas wide. Now the Mishnah concluded and said, so this is all a problem about opening a doorway opposite a doorway in the common courtyard. But if let's say it's opposite street, a Rishus Harab, a public domain, then he's allowed to open up his door facing the other person's door. So the Gemara, the reason is because the Amalei, because the one who's opening up the door opposite the other person's doorway could tell the other person, look, saif at the end, Habayis it's tenui b'nei Rishus Harab. Anyway, you're going to have to conceal yourself from the people of the public domain who they see into your house through the opening when they're riding on the horses or the camels. They look through your windows and looking through into your doorway. They're all driving by looking. So anyways, what's the difference in my doorway versus everyone in the street? Anyways, you have to conceal yourself. So therefore, it doesn't make a difference that my doorway is facing opposite your doorway. Now the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah. Again, continuing on this theme of the previous Mishnah is regarding having hishtamshus utilization in a different domain. This time it's moving past a common courtyard to the halachas of Rishus Harab. So, ein oisin chalal tachas Rishus Harab. This person is not allowed to make a cavity beneath the public domain, even if he's accepting responsibility of any damages that will come because of his project. And the reason for that is because people don't want that they should have to get injured and then have to deal with this guy to get compensated from him who did this project. And as the Mishnah explains, what is this cavity we're talking about that someone would make beneath the public domain? A bayrish, sheikh, and ma'aris, these different types of pits or cavities that a person would make for whatever purpose that he has, the Talmud Kama says he's not allowed to do that because that could cause damage to the people in Rosh Hashanah. Now, Rabbi Elazar Matar, he says it's actually permitted, but as long as he covers over the pit that it should be so strong, k'desh te'agala ma'alechesu tu'una avanim, that a wagon could go over that part of the Shasarabim, of where the pit is, and it could be carrying heavy rocks, and that it will not cave in, then it's permitted to go ahead and dig beneath the Shasarabim. Now the reason for this is because Rabbi Elazar goes based on what is right now. What do we see right now? And right now it could carry no matter what weight it is, and he's not concerned that maybe today or tomorrow then the cover will ultimately deteriorate and will get weak and will cave in. As the Gemara says at the end of the second parak, so since right now it could carry and nothing's going to happen, he allows someone to do that. Another halacha says the Mishnah, Emitzin Zizin. A person is not allowed to extend these small little beams, or Vugezuz Terois, or these large beams that stick out of his house, outwards, L'Rosh Hashanah, into the public domain. Now the reason for this is because we have to be concerned that maybe people that are traveling in the public domain will get injured from this beam sticking out. So therefore, now let's extend it out into Rosh Hashanah. And the reason for that is because we can't have every single person that passes through the public domain come here and say, okay, we're okay with what you do. So in contrast to, let's say, in the common courtyard, which as we'll see in the Gemara, that might be allowed at times when the people in the courtyard are, okay, we're okay with it. But in Rosh Hashanah, there's no way for every person to go ahead and acquiesce for that. And therefore, it's forbidden to extend the Zizin or Gezuz Terois in Rosh Hashanah. Elam Ratzer, rather says the Mishnah, if he wants to, let's say he needs things to hang his stuff from, hanging out of his house, as people have these poles sticking out to hang their laundry, what should the person do? So what they should do is kindness l'teich shalai. What they should do is they should indent their wall inward to leave some of their property on the outside, the measurement that they need to extend their zizin. And then Almighty, then they'd extend the zizin because that's not going to Rosh Hashanah, that's going into their property. Now, let's say, Loka Chatzru Uba Zizin V'Gizzarai. Says the Mishnah, what's the halacha? If let's say someone purchases a courtyard and it already has zizin and Gizzarai that are sticking out into the public domain, that says the Mishnah, Rizu Bechazkasa. So he already has a predisposition to this maintenance of this ziz that he bought with this house and courtyard that he bought, where the halach is that we, the courts, go ahead and claim for the purchase, and we say that must have been that this guy who he bought it from, how was he allowed to have? This probably indented his wall where that ziz that's sticking out is not really part of Shasram, it's really part of his own private property. Now, this, however, stands in contrast to the one who actually sold it to him. If he would actually, as we see, extend out the zizin, he would have to go ahead and bring witnesses that he had that was part of his property, or that he should at least claim that he had the years of chazaka, that it was machnes, that it was machzik, that he had it inside his own property, where then it would be a chazaka with a claim. Now, but in regards to the lekeach, what the Mishnah is telling us, that he doesn't have to make such a claim. All he has to say is, this is how I bought it. And he doesn't have to claim, so how is it possible that the one who sold it to him has diseases that are sticking out into Rosh Hashanah? Because that's the halacha we learned in the Mishnah of Gimel and Aleph, that's called Tanina Le'yarish Tanina Le'lekech. We claim, because how's he supposed to know? Regarding the guy himself, it's a flaw. You got to have a good claim. Why do you do something that seems inappropriate? The Lekech, how's he supposed to know? I don't know. I bought it like this. And therefore, we claim for him and we make a claim that would validate what he has right now, which is, okay, we'll say that this guy probably had made it in his own property. And therefore, although people walked in, now it's not really part of the Rosh Hashanah, it's really part of his property. And therefore, he was allowed to make the ziz. Now, the Gemara asks, V'Rabbanon, according to Rabbanon, that they say that it's forbidden to go ahead and ever make a cavity beneath the Rosh Hashanah, says the Gemara, they hold that we don't go just based on what is right now. And they say we are concerned because zimnin, sometimes it could happen that it could start deteriorating from within, meaning the ground that's on top of this cavity, which is the ground that the people in the street walk on. And the mifchis, and then the ground is going to cave in. And the one who's traveling in Rosh Hashanah is not going to be aware, and he's going to pass over, and he's going to fall, and he's going to injure himself. So because of that, the Tanna Kama says, we're never allowed to go ahead and dig something underneath Rosh Hashanah. In contrast to Rabbi Elazar, who said, if it's okay right now, we allow the guy to do such a project. Now, the Mishnah also said, "Eim litzin zizn begizdas terayis v'chulu," that one cannot extend his beams into the Rishus HaRabim at any point in time. Now, the Gemara brings stories that illustrate this halacha, that Rabbi Ami hava lezizah dehava nofek lemavah. Rabbi Ami had a ziz, had a beam, that stuck out into the mavoi. Now, the mavoi is a common area of all the common courtyards. And then the mavoi is, they opened up in the Rishus HaRabim. Now, there was another person that also had a beam that protruded, but his beam protruded into the Rishus HaRab. Now, the people of the public domain, they wanted to stop this guy from having his beam sticking out into Rishus HaRab, as we learned in our Mishnah, which that's not allowed. So they came in front of Rabbi Ami. So he told that guy, go ahead and cut off your beam. As we learned in the Mishnah, you're not allowed to have a beam sticking out in Rishus HaRab. So that person said to Rabbi Ami, but the master also has a beam sticking out into a common area. You have your sticking out into your mavi. So the Rabbi Ami said to him, hello, my beam is sticking out to the common mavi, the alleyway that is shared by common courtyards. There's a limited amount of people that have rights in this mavi, and they're all okay. I found out that they're all meichel me, they're all forgiving me having this thing sticking out. But yours is sticking out to the public domain. Who's going to be forgiven for you? Rishus HaRabim is 600,000 people that pass by. There you can't have everyone coming over to be meichel you, and therefore it's forbidden for you to have yours is sticking out. Go ahead and cut off yours because yours is sticking into Rishus HaRabim. A similar type of an incident says the Gemara, Rabbiane Havale Ilan Hanukil Rishus HaRabim. Rabbiane had a tree that was sticking out into the public domain. Now, Havahu Gavra, there was another person, the Havli Nami Ilan Hanoitir L'Rishus HaRabim. He also had a tree that was sticking out from his domain into the Rishus HaRabim, into the public domain. Now, also B'nei Rishus HaRabim, now the people from the public domain, they came, Havakuma Akvi Elevate, they wanted to stop him from having his tree stick out into the public domain because the branches were harming the people that were riding on their dung, on their camels in their street because the tree was sticking out and they would go get knocked in the head by this guy's branches. So, Aslakam made Rabbi Ani, so he came in front of Rabbi Ani. So Amalei, Rabbi Ani said to him, as we continue to Medbeis, Zila inna, go away now. But Salamachu, come back tomorrow and I'll tell you what the halacha should be. Now the reason why he did this, as the Gemara is going to shortly explain, because he wanted to first rectify his own situation. And what he did was, Balelia, that night, Shadr, he sent, Katz Ilahudidei. He had his own tree that also stuck into Rishus HaRabim. He had it cut down. Now Lamach Asla Kamei, so the next day the guy came back to him. So Amalei, so he passed it in front of him, he says, Zilkaitz, go ahead and cut off your tree. So Amalei, so the guy said to him, what do you mean? The master also has a tree sticking out in the Rishus HaRabim. How can you tell me to cut off mine? You also have this. Amalei said to him, Zilchazi, go ahead and see. Ikaitz the D, if mine is already cut down, well then kaitz the dach, then cut down yours. Ilaikaitz the D, if mine's not cut off, then loikitokats out, then you're right, don't cut down yours either. Which he already had cut down his, and then he got the guy to cut down this tree. Now the Gemara asks, Me'ikar Maisava, originally what did he think? That originally he had his tree, albeit being a Rav and Paskini that's forbidden, originally he had his tree sticking out to Rishus HaRabim. Ulusai Maisava, and then in the end what did he think? Why did he end up cutting down this tree and Paskini for the other guy that he has to cut down this tree? Says the Gemara, Me'ikar Sava, originally he thought, Nichlahu l'b'nei Rishus HaRabim, it's actually pleasing for the people of the public domain that I have my tree with the branches sticking out to the public domain, to Yasser Betuli, so that they could sit in the shade. He thought it would be pleasing for them. Now, Kiev and the Chazad the Kama Akvi, but once he saw that they were stopping other people from having their tree with their branches sticking out into the Rishus HaRabim, so he understood that the reason why they weren't protesting to him was because of his honor. So he realized he doesn't want it that he should be any different and doing things that are bothering the people in Rishus HaRabim. So Shadr Katzi, then he went and he cut it down, just like we have the locha of the beam into Rishus HaRabim, so to the branches into Rishus HaRabim. Yeah, but the Gemara still has a question, but Valemele, why didn't he just tell that individual when he came to him to ask him to Shaila and he realized, they really don't like the trees? Why didn't he just tell him, why did he tell him to come back tomorrow? Why didn't he just tell him, Zil Kaitzidach, cut down your tree, Vahadr Akats Tidia, and then I'm going to cut down my own tree? Why did he have to tell him, go back? Leave today, come back tomorrow, and then he first went down, cut down his tree, and then he had told the guy to cut down his tree. So the Gemara Mishum de Rish Lakish, because the halacha that Rish Lakish had said, the Amad that he said, quoting a pasuk in Tzafanya, his koishishu, first remove the straw from between your eyes, and then v'koishu, and then remove the straw from between other people's eyes. In other words, what that means is k'shait atzmacha, adorn yourself, meaning fix your own problems, v'achka k'shait achem, and then adorn others, then fix other people's problems. So fix your own ear mask, and then others, you want to first take care of your own problems, and therefore he first rectified his own situation, and then he went and told other people to do the right thing too. Now the Mishnah said, Avalam Ratzah, but what if a person wants to have a beam sticking out of his house to be able to hang stuff from? So Kainis L'Tech Shalom, you might see, then he has to first withdraw his wall into his property and then stick out the beam, which will then be part of his property, not sticking into Rishas Rab. Now, by the way, there's the following question regarding this halacha. What's if Kanas, he indented his wall into his property, and right now he didn't stick out, didn't put up the beam sticking out of the house. What's the halacha at a later point in time? Could he then still put up the beam sticking out of the wall? In other words, do we say that he already lost the rights of that area to the people of Rishus HaRabim? Because they have already started using that property and now it's like already Rishus HaRabim and therefore he can't put up the beam anymore? Or not? Or do we say that no, this was his property and he just put the wall down, pulled it back so that he could stick out the ziz, so though people started extending Rishus HaRabim into his area, that's not something that he loses the right to. So Rabbi Yechon Amar, he says, Kanas Maitzi, the one who withdrew the area of his wall, could still stick out the beam as long as he wants to. Rish Lakish, he says, no, Kanas Eini Maitzi, the one who withdrew the area cannot now anymore stick out the beam. Now, the assumption of the Gemara at this point is, the reason why he can't do that is because he already lost his rights already, he already became part of the Rishus HaRabim. However, Amalei Rabbi Yaakov, Rabbi Yimri Bat Tachlifa, he said that no, Azbalach, I'll explain to you the machlek is as follows. Lohaitzi, to at any point in time stick out the beam, kul Amalei Pligi de Maitzi. No one disagrees that he's allowed to because this was part of his domain. Of course, he could stick out the beam. He only pulled back his wall for that purpose. So although he didn't do it for a few months, he can still do it. Ki Pligi, their whole machlek was Lahachzi Kisamlam Kaiman. Is he allowed to, at a later point in time, bring the walls back to the original area, which was his property? That's the machlekes. And actually, the ipre itma. And actually, it was said the opposite way, where the Gemara wanted to say that it's Rabbi Yechon who holds like Rabbi Yehuda, because the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda, as the Gemara says that since we hold like Rabbi Yehuda, so we want that Rabbi Yechon should be saying like Rabbi Yehuda. And what was the machlekes? Rabbi Yechon I'm Amar Einamach. He says, you know, once you pull back the wall and now everyone started using that area because it extended into the Rishus HaRabim, you can't bring the walls back to what the original area is. You could stick out your ziz, which is why you pulled it back, but you can't put the walls back. Rish Lakish Amamach, he says, no, you could put the wall back to its original area. What's the machlek? It says, the Gemara, Rabbi Yechon Amar Einamach, he says, you can't put it back, Mishum Rabbi Yehuda, because the Allah of Rabbi Yehuda. Dam Rabbi Yehuda, because he said, Meitzer, when there's a boundary between two fields, Sher Ziku Bay Rabim, where the public has already taken possession of that area, meaning how do people get through where there's a large plain of fields? You go at the edge of the fields. Now, although essentially that edge is part of either field, but if the public already started using that area, says Rabbi Yehuda, Asla Kalkulay, then you're not allowed to ruin it anymore. You're not take possession, back possession of it, because since it became a public path, the public has already taken domain of this area. So Rabbi Yechonon holds the same thing. Once you pulled your wall back, although it was really part of your property, but since now the Rosh Hashanah has spilled into that area, you can now let it put your wall back. Rosh Lakish Amamachzi says, no, you're allowed to put your wall back because Hani Mili, when did we say this halacha like Rabbi Yehuda that Meitzer Shechzigibah Rabim, that you're now allowed to go ahead and ruin the path and now leave the public without a path? That's Hechad like a Ravcha. That's when there's no room for where else the public to go to. Hacha Ikar Ravcha. But here, there's space for the people. Even if you're going to go ahead and bring the wall back to its original space, you still have the whole width of the entire Rishus HaRabim, and generally the public domain is a wide open area, and therefore you're allowed to put your wall back to its original space. Now the Mishnah said, if Laka Chatzar Uvazizn Begusteris, let's say you board it as it is, a courtyard with already having Zizn Begusteris sticking out of the house, seemingly into the Rishus HaRabim, this guy who bought it maintains the chazaka of allowing to maintain the ziz that's sticking out. Now, and the reason why we explained is because we taina for him that probably what it was, one of the valid claims is that the guy had pulled back and it was really part of his property, although the people walk over there for Mishras Ram, it's really his own private property and he was allowed to do that. Now, however, on this halacha, the Gemara says as follows, Amar Ravuna, he says, Naflo, if the ziz falls down, Chayz Rabbeinu, so you were allowed to go ahead and rebuild it, meaning to put the ziz back up as you would initially. So though really not allowed to put it up, but once it was permitted to maintain it, Now that it falls down, you're allowed to go ahead and put it back up. This the Gemara says follows Meisvei. From the following Brisa, the Brisa says, Ein Mesaiden. A person is not allowed to go ahead and plaster a house. And the reason for that is because of mourning of the Beis HaMikdash. So too, Ein Mechairen. A person is not allowed to go ahead and grave in images in the sid, in the lime, in the plaster of the wall. Some say actually that Mechairen is the same as Siudas plastering. It's just actually this kier is wider than plaster. And also Ve'im Mefaichen. You now go ahead and paint certain images on the walls of the house, Bizman Azeh, in today's times after the Churban Beis HaMikdash. Now, however, says the Brisa of Laka Chatzu Mesuyedis Mikiyeris Mefuyachas, but let's say you bought it as it is already. You bought it, we already was plastered, already had these graven images, already had these painted images. Then that raises Bechaskas, so that maintains the Chazak, you let it leave it as it is. Now, but Nafluf, let's say though it fell down, let's say the wall or the plaster, then says the Brisa, Ein Achayz Rebbein Oisa, you're not allowed to go ahead and rebuild it with the plaster or with the images. What do you see from the Brisa? That any structure that initially you're not allowed to go ahead and do, if you had it, so even though you're allowed to maintain it, but if it falls down, you're not allowed to go ahead and rebuild it. So therefore, that's difficult in the halacha that we just said, where the same thing if you have the zizin sticking out in the Rishas Rabbim, since even though you're allowed to maintain it, but since this is something that initially you're not allowed to do, if it falls down, you should not be allowed to go ahead and re-put it and put it back up, which we just said you're allowed to. Now the reason for this is, as Tosfos explains, now the Gemara assumes that a house that, we're talking about a house that was built at the time of when the Beis HaMikdash was still around, and then it fell, then you're going to go ahead and rebuild it. So someone that goes and buys this courtyard that's already plastered, what we say harizu b'chaskasa is because as long as this house is still extant, we say and rely that it must have been that this house was made, and thus the plaster and all the other things were made at the time when the Beis HaMikdash was still around, and therefore it was permitted. But if it falls, then we say that likely it was done at a time when it was forbidden to be done, at a time when it was after the Churban Beis HaMikdash. That's what we would say. If it's around, then we would title, okay, then we would title that it was permittedly done. When it was already fell down, and you want to rebuild it, then we say, oh, maybe not, because maybe it was done at a time when it was already destroyed, the Beis HaMikdash. Now that's what the Gemara asks on Rav Huna, that why you're allowed to go ahead and rebuild the Ziz, once it falls, we see that we should say that it was probably done in a forbidden way, which is that this guy who he sported from had done it into the Rosh Hashanah, and therefore it's forbidden to go ahead and put it back up. And that the Gemara answer is no isurishani. Actually, a prohibition is different than the halachas of damages. Which, although that most definitely, let's say we would say that it was done in a permitted way, and that's actually the reason for Rav Huna's halacha, why it's permitted to go ahead and rebuild the ziz, because we'll say that no, probably the guy who bought it from, not only when it's around, but even when the falls, it was done in a permitted way. But regarding this prohibition of Churban Beis HaMikdash, we say that when it falls, it's forbidden to go ahead and just build it and to go ahead and plaster it, not because we assume what was originally done was in the forbidden way. No, maybe originally the house that you bought was done at the time when the Beis HaMikdash was still around, and that's why you're allowed to maintain it. But when it falls down, now you want to go ahead and do something which is forbidden right now, which is plastering, although originally it was okay, but now it's forbidden. In contrast, halachas of damages, which is the ziz sticking out, that is not forbidden, even if you're putting up right now, because this was done in a permitted way. It really is part of this guy's rishus, not part of rishus haram, and therefore you're allowed to put the ziz back up. Now, continuing on this theme of this halacha that we brought in to ask on the halacha of Rav Huna, the Gemara extends this discussion to the end of this parak. Talking about Luna Braisa. Liyasid adim es beisa besid. A person not allowed to plaster his house with plaster. Now, but if he mixed in sand or straw, which what that does is that it weakens the whiteness of the plaster, then mutter, then is permitted. That's not so beautiful. That's not such a desecration of the mourning over the Beis HaMikdash. Rabbi Huda, he disagrees. He says, if you're mixing in sand into the plaster, so actually that makes it into a stronger mixture, and it makes the building into actually a finer building, even though it's darkening it a little bit. So therefore, for us, that would be forbidden. But tevin mutter, if you're mixing in straw, yes, that will be permitted. So to continue on this theme, turn about in the Braisa. Kesharaf habayis b'shni, when the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed the second time, Rabba Prushin b'Yisrael, there were many people that started separating themselves from this mundane physical world. Where? Shalei lechol basa, they stopped eating meat. V'shalei lishtei yayin, they're not to drink wine. Now, Nitvalen Rabbi Shua, Rabbi Shua got involved with these people. He says, Amal, and they said to them, Banai, my sons, why are you not eating meat anymore? Not drinking wine anymore. So Amal, they said to him, Meichel Basa, what, we should eat meat? This is the thing that they used to sacrifice on the altar. And now it's not around anymore. Nishtayan, we should drink wine. Shemenaschen lagabi mizbeach. That they used to pour these libations on the mizbeach. V'achshav batel, it's not, and now that mizbeach is not around anymore. How could we eat these things that used to be served and brought on the mizbeach? So Amalem, so he said to them, Im Kain, if that's the case, let's extend your logic. Lechem lo neichel, we shouldn't eat bread anymore. Shekvar batel manachis, because now the flour offerings, which is also what breads were made from, are not around anymore either. So they said to him, you're right. Good idea. Efshav beperis. It's possible that we should only eat fruit and we won't eat bread anymore because you're right. Now there's no more menachas. So he said to them, look, peiros le'nechol, then we shouldn't even be able to eat fruit anymore. Shekvar bat le'bikurim, because now there's no more the service of bringing the first fruits to the base of Mikdash and then we shouldn't eat fruit anymore. So they said to him, you're right. Efshav peiros achem. We could eat other fruit because bikurim were only brought from the Shebes Aminim of Eretz Yisrael. So he said, look, so we shouldn't drink water anymore. Because now the water libations, which were on Sukkot, that's not around anymore, so we shouldn't be allowed to drink water either. So Shasku, they were sound. They realized that their logic was flawed. So Amalan, he said to them, look, Banai, my sons, come and I will tell you as follows. Not to mourn at all, that's not possible, because there's already, there was the decree of the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, and we're obligated to mourn. As the Pasuk says, that they will be rejoicing for all those who mourn over it, meaning that we have to mourn over the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. But to mourn over it too much, that's also not possible. Because you're not allowed to make a decree on the public. Unless the majority of the public can withstand the severity of the decree. Now, the Chassid, as he brings proof from the following pasuk in Malachi. Pasuk there says, that you accepted, you the Jewish people, accepted upon yourselves the decree of a curse, that regarding the bringing of the maestros to the storehouses, meaning like the pasuk says in Malachi there in Paragimel, that you have to bring all your maestros to where they're supposed to go. And if you don't, there's going to be certain curses. And in spite of that, Hashem is telling the Jewish people, Va'isi atim kaivim, yet from me, you steal all the maestros and trumas that are supposed to go to my kahanim and to my levim, as the pasuk there says, V'amartim b'maka v'nuch, and you say, what will you steal? It's the maestros and the truma. Now, and the pasuk concludes, Hagoy Kuloi, the entire nation. In other words, the entire nation accepted upon themselves this decree of a curse if they do not complete the halachas of Trumas and Maestros appropriately. Now, what that shows us is that generally, and unless the entirety of the nation would be able to withstand a decree, they would not agree to accept that decree, which in this case is Trumas and Maestros of a curse. Now, the same thing is we know in halachic terminology is that Ruben Kankula, and the majority is like all of them. So we see that it's not going to be considered a valid decree unless the majority of the Jewish people could withstand it. So therefore, he tells them, Rabbi Shua, that the same thing is over here. We cannot not make a Zeichel HaChorban. At the same time, neither can we overdo it, which you're saying, no meat, no wine, no nothing. Most of the people cannot withstand that, and that's not a valid Gezerah to institute. Rather, says Rabbi Shua, this is what the sages have said, and this is the conclusion of his statement. What's appropriate to do to institute for a zecha, for a commemoration, for the avelas of the mourning of the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, which is sad adam es beis lebesed. A person could plaster his house with plaster, but a meshayir by davar mudi has to leave an area which is not plastered, which is not finished off. Says the Gemara of a Kama, how much is that? So Rabbi Yisuf is amalama square ama. And the Rav Chizdi explains, Kenegeda Pesach, opposite when you enter into the house, there should be a square, an amma squared, that's empty, that's not painted, or that's not plastered, that's not finished, a commemoration that this is, our simcha is not complete because the Mesa Migdash is not around. Similarly, Isa Adam called Tzarkei, so the person can prepare all the needs he needs for a meal. Umeshari, Davamud, but you have to leave over something that's not there. Mahi, what's that? So Rapapi gives an example, Kasa Daharsna, where if you have a certain dish that was made out of fish, that was fried in its oil with flour, even a small thing like that, just you can't have everything. You have to leave over something, Zeichel HaChorban. So to Eise Isha Kotach Shetel, a woman can make all her adornments, all her jewelry. But a mishayeres tavmud, she has to leave over something that she's not doing to beautify herself. Mahi, what's that? So Rav, he says, batsada, as a reference even to what they used to do, they would put some lime on their foreheads and remove those little hairs they have over there. Even that, if you don't do that, that's considered significant enough as a zeichel korban. Now, the reason for all these things is, like we were mentioning, Shneim, like it says, a pasuk in Tehillim, and this is going back on all these things, where the pasuk says, if I'm going to forget you, Yerushalayim, tishkach imini, let me forget my right hand. Tidbak l'shayni l'chiki, let my tongue stick to my palate, v'gayme, etc., where, as the Gemara asks, where the pasuk continues and says, Mayal reshav chasi, what does it mean when the pasuk says that this should be at the head of all my festivities, should be my commemoration of the destruction of Yerushalayim and the Beis HaMikdash? Rabbi Yitzchak, he says, this is Efer Mikla, it's a reference to the ashes that are put Shabaresh Chasanim on the top, on the head of the Chasan, which our custom is to do it when before the Chasan walks down to the Chuppah, where Efer Mikla is referring to the ashes of an oven, of a stove, which is burnt in fire. It's just because there are other types of ashes, like the ashes of the Paraduma. That's why he has to explain that it's a reference to Efer Mikla, just ashes where they put on the head of the Chasan, of the groom. On that, Amalei Rav Pabla Abaye Heichem Manachla, where on the head do they put it? Says the Gemara B'Mokim Tefillin, the place where the Tefillin Shel Roish are put. Shemak, it says the pasuk in Yeshaya, when the future will come, Losim Laveil Itzin, to put for the mourners of Zion, Loslem Pe'er Tachas Efer, to put splendor in the place of where the ashes are. In other words, you can infer that what people used to do in the mourning of Eretz Yisrael was to put ashes in place of Pe'er, which are a reference to Tefillin, as the pasuk in Yecheskel says, Pe'er Chachav Shalecha, where your Pe'er, your splendor, your Tefillin are strapped onto you, which is that the people used to have, like in current times, Efer instead of Pe'er, and the future will be Pe'er instead of Efer. The same letters, but one is the ashes that are put in place of the, with the Pe'er, where the Tefillin are put. Now, continues the Gemara, V'chol mas'abal al Yerushalayim, whoever mourns over Yerushalayim, Zeicha v'rei p'simchasa, will merit to, and see in its rejoicing. Shneim, like it says, the pasuk in Yeshaya, it says, Simchu es Yerushalayim, rejoice with Yerushalayim, v'geimer, etc., with the pasuk that concludes in Perek Samachvav, pasuk Yud, V'gilu ba'kol ha'yveho, and rejoice in it all those who love it, Sisu ita masais, and to be overly joyous, those who call a mesabmala, whoever mourned over it. So those who mourned over it merit to see in its rejoicing. Tanya Lidna Braisa, continuing on this theme, that Amr Shmuel ben Elisha says, Meyem Shachar Beis HaMikdash, from the day that the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, Dinu Shenigzal Atzmeinu, really the rule should be that we should decree in ourselves, Shalei Lechal Basa, that we shouldn't eat meat, B'lei Lishtas Yain, we shouldn't drink wine, Ella, rather, but like we said before, in Gezin Gezel Tzibu, we don't make a decree on the public. Elam Kein Yerub Tzibu Yechayin Lamedva, unless the majority of the people can withstand it, and most people cannot live like that, and therefore we don't make such a Gezera. So too, Miyim Shepashta Malchus Rasha, from the day that the wicked kingdom, referring to the Gullus that we're in now, that of Edom, that of the Roman Gullus, from once they spread out their wicked kingdom, Shegezeres Aleinu Gezeres Rois Rokashas, that they decreed upon us, on us, wicked and harsh decrees, umavatelis mimen the Torah mitzvahs, and they stop us from learning Torah and performing mitzvahs. They don't let us go to the party called the Shavua Ben, which literally means to say the week of the child, which is referring to the circumcision, which is at the end of 7 days. That's why it's at the eighth day. It always has to have 7 days passed, that is including a Shabbos. And they don't let us participate in the circumcision. Varmilan, some say Yeshua HaBen, which refers to, according to one interpretation, that of a Pidni HaBen, which is the salvation of the child, which actually some Gersai say not to be Garis, that will be here, although elsewhere it has these two different Shavua Ben, Yeshua HaBen, because here it wouldn't be appropriate to say that they don't let us do this mitzvah Pidni HaBen, because a father of a child could just give 5 shkalim to a kohen in the marketplace, and they're not going to know that it's performing a mitzvah Pidni HaBen. But either way, they don't let us do bris milah and all these other mitzvahs. So dinu shenigzal tzmeinu, the rule should be that we should really decree in ourselves, shleili se'isha, ulhei lebanim, we shouldn't get married to women, we shouldn't have children. V'nimtzeh, it will come out, that zarish l'avram avinu kolam elav, that the children, the descendants of Avram Avinu, will disintegrate by themselves in a good way, and not through the idol worshippers, and we will not be nullifying actively mitzvahs by not performing them. It just, there won't be any Jews around anymore. Ella, however, he says, Hanech lam liYisrael, leave the Jewish people. It's a classic Talmudic dictum that mutav shiyu shegin, better be they be in error in violating this law by them taking wives, because they think there's nothing wrong with marrying wives. In truth, it really is, because we shouldn't get married and put ourselves in these situations which we're not able to fulfill the Torah appropriately. But better let them be b'shegig where we don't make these decrees and let them know that it's forbidden, value mazidin, and that they shouldn't be doing deliberate violations, because ultimately people are not going to be able to withstand that gezerah of not marrying women, of having children, because they're going to need to have that connection to get married and have children, and they're going to nullify it. And it's going to come out they're going to be violating that prohibition deliberately. So therefore, we don't make the gezerah in the first place and let them violate this problem about marrying women and children in these current turbulent times. B'shegig, then rather doing it b'mezid. Hadin l'cheska sabbatim, we shall return to the third parak, Masechta Baba Basra, parak cheska sabbatim.